Of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
Yeah, I'm really proud of them. In our little pregame huddle, I kind of just was like, we've prepped all year for this moment, and I believe in each and every single one of you. We've put in the work, and now it's time for us to go out and shine and just do what we do. They were all really excited to play, and you know, we wanted to put that sticker on the board, and that's what we did, so I'm proud of them.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
Well, speaking of not knowing what we're talking about, we've got our MLB picks coming up later on towards the bottom of the hour right here on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Glad to be with you. It is opening day indeed. We're looking forward to that. We, of course, have Twins coverage right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen today, and, of course, all spring and summer long on FSA. As the Twins, they get things underway later on this afternoon. They've got a first pitch slated for 3:15 against the hated St. Louis Cardinals. I guess you guys don't hate them out here, but as a Chicago Cubs fan, I call them the hated St. Louis Cardinals. So looking forward to that broadcast here today. Then, of course, off tomorrow, naturally. And then back in action on Saturday and Sunday at 1:15 for your first pitch each day on Fox Sports Aberdeen. David Tewksbury along for the ride with Matt McClure. How are you, sir? Happy opening day.
Doing great, man. How are you doing today?
Doing excellent. I am excited. It is opening day. It's not quite the same as football's opening day. For me, NFL is my numero uno. Baseball, it's not a close second. I don't think there is a sport for me on the pro side of things that's a close second. I mean, I enjoy baseball. I watch the games. I listen to the games here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. I enjoy hockey. But for me, it's the NFL, and I don't think there is a close second, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'd have to think about it. MLB, I like listening to the games. That's a big reason why I'm a big fan of it, like listening to different games on radio. I got the MLB app, and I have access to kind of every single game. So that's why I like it. You know, if I'm going out for a walk or something like that, I just throw on a random game. It doesn't matter. That's a big reason why I like it. But, yeah, I'm kind of with you. Football is my number one. You know I'm a big basketball fan. I do like the NBA. I do like hockey. I mean, it's kind of just a bunch for number two, I feel like. I don't think I have that number two. Now, I am a fan of baseball, but like I said, I like listening to the games and following it a little bit more.
I feel like baseball is one of those sports in particular. It just works on the radio. Some sports are kind of tough on the radio for sure, but I think baseball works better. Maybe that's a hot take. I don't know, but I feel like baseball works better on the radio almost more than TV in a weird way.
Yeah, because you just have so much time in between pitches. You can tell stories throughout a baseball broadcast that maybe you might not have the opportunity to do in a football game or a bat, just because of the intensity. Like baseball, yes, you're trying to win every game, but there's a lot of laid back parts to it as well, just like as a viewer of the game. And we're not talking, you know, game 35 doesn't have the same intensity. I mean, we talk about every game matters, and it does, but it doesn't have the same intensity as game one of a division series, right?
100%. There's no two ways about it. And don't make me invoke the Tukes doctrine. We haven't even had first pitch yet. But you're right. Every game does matter, but I think you're spot on with the intensity and the feel of it. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of baseball on the radio and looking forward to hearing the Twins games right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen starting today at 3:15. He's Matt McClure. We call him
Mr. Unlimited.
Let's get to the jump here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. Jim Apple, the head coach of the Aberdeen Central Girls Track and Field Squad. He'll be joining us in the next 10 to 15 minutes on the program as well. as if you can believe it, spring sports season is already underway, and they've already had a couple of meets on the campus of NSU. And you know me, I'm pretty fired up about opening day in the form of not just the games, but also good eats. I love me some good eats. And I actually had it, I had this story yesterday, but kind of had to kick the can down the road anyway towards today. And we'll talk about this later on towards the back half of the show as it pertains to the Minnesota Twins, because at some point in time, there are three things in life, Matt, that are certain: death, taxes, and Byron Buxton's probably going to get hurt in some way, shape, or means. I hope that he doesn't, but unfortunately, he's been bitten by the injury bug at some way, shape, or means, whether that's a pulled hammy or a tweaked this or bruised that. At some point in time, he's going to have to go down to the minors, and when you go down to the minor leagues, you can enjoy the land of 10,000 calories. My goodness, this came out this week on X, and it's getting a lot of traction on social media. The St. Paul Saints, of course, they're kind of that feeder program of the Minnesota Twins minor league baseball team. And if you and I made a trip to the Twin Cities this summer, we may have to indulge in the land of 10,000 calories. It is a giant beef hot dog, emphasis on the word giant. It's topped with smoked pulled pork, cheddar macaroni and cheese, jalapenos, and fried onion topping. It's $130. Four drinks do come indeed with it. And it does also feed 10 to 12 people from the St. Paul Saints, or just two fat radio guys right here in the Hub City, perhaps.
Well, I'd hope it feeds 10 people, because you're talking 10,000 calories.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot. A lot of calories for just a hot dog with all that toppings on it. I mean, this hot dog, it's got to be huge.
Massive.
You got a picture of it?
I sure do. Would you like to see?
Yeah, let's see.
By the way, I texted Steve Linsmeyer. He does color commentary for the St. Paul Saints. Yeah, it's aggressive.
That looks like 10,000 calories.
Yeah.
That's an intense hot dog right there.
There's a lot going on there. He says it covers four chair lengths. So, like, let's say you get your own row. It's just like, hey, keep passing it down this way.
Yeah, you'd have to have people hold it up. That's funny. That's funny. And you gotta think, like, there's like that crazy eater that does challenges. Oh, I'm going to do it by myself.
No, you're not.
You're not with that. No way. No way. That's awesome.
Yeah. The land of 10,000 calories. So enjoy it there for the St. Paul Saints if you plan to travel east at some point in time this spring or summer.
Wonder how many of those they'll sell.
At least more than two.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, I guarantee you, you're going to have some bachelor parties there. A couple of bros.
Yeah.
Super bro-y guys just like, yeah, let's get the land of 10,000 calories, bro.
Yeah, we'll all split it. That's actually not a bad price. $130 with drinks included.
Yeah, four of them.
That's not bad. You could split that with a couple of your buddies, and that actually is not a bad price.
It's like the big sub that you used to do. You know, you slice it off into portions of it. Here's your 6-inch. Here's your 6-inch.
Yes.
Enjoy it there in the Twin Cities for sure. Let's travel down south to the Lone Star State. They always say everything's bigger in Texas for sure. And the Texas Rangers, they will have a 24-inch burrito at games this year. It's called the Boomstick Burrito. It's made with a 26-inch tortilla filled with rice, beans, seasoned taco meat, nacho cheese, pico de gallo, lettuce and sour cream. Again, a 24-inch burrito is calling your name down south there in Texas.
That would be a bold play to get that. You know, if you're a Mexican food guy, and for me, it goes through the system pretty fast. That would be a pretty tough one to get at a baseball game. 2-foot-long burrito?
Oof.
That's insane.
I will tell you, I have done the Jimmy John's 16-inch sub before.
Yeah.
Oh, I hated myself after that. I mean, that was a long time ago. That was before I met my wife. I think if she would have known that I downed the 16-inch sub at Jimmy John's, I think she may say, check, please. No, thanks. I'm interested. But, yeah, I mean, if you eat that much food, you're probably good for the next couple days.
Oh, yeah, especially in one sitting.
No doubt about it. Let's travel out west to Dodger Stadium. Check out the Chicken Katsu Club Sandwich. It's crispy chicken katsu. I'm not sure what katsu is, but it's a thing.
Katsu.
It's, yeah, I know. K-A-T-S-U. I'm guessing that's the way that's pronounced. It's on buttery Texas toast with mayonnaise, creamy avocado, arugula, appreciate that, tomatoes, and smoky applewood bacon. enjoy that. The Chicken Katsu Club Sandwich out west in Dodger Stadium.
That sounds amazing. I need to be a part of that.
Speaking of sounding amazing, let's
That's the best one I've heard yet.
There's more. Believe me, I got a lot more here. Travel down south to Arizona, Chase Field, the Sonoran Dog. It's a hefty half-pound Nathan's foot-long hot dog. Remember that scene in Dumb and Dumber? Footlong!
Footlong!
Who's got the footlong? It's nestled in a buttery toasted New England roll topped with ranch beans, smoked bacon, pico de gallo, and drizzled with mustard as well as mayo there.
That sounds pretty good. I'm a fan of that as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of really, really good stuff all across the board. Travel out to the nation's capital, Nats Park, the cheesesteak loaded nachos. Crispy tortilla chips topped with chopped ribeye, caramelized onions, pickled peppers, cheese whiz, and garlic aioli there at Nats Park. My neck of the woods, Wrigley Field, how about chicken and waffles? Crispy fried chicken served on Belgian waffles, hot honey drizzle, and strawberries there for Wrigley Field.
Ooh.
And this one's kind of out there as well. Lone Depot Park. This is the Miami Marlins. They've got the, I'm going to probably butcher this, but I'm going to guess it's pronounced the paradilla board? They're selling boards.
Really?
You got like
a charcuterie board.
Like a charcuterie board? Yeah, I'm guessing it's pronounced paradilla. Mouth-watering display of grilled steak, chicken breast, sausage, all plated up with smashed potatoes, roasted veggies, chimichurri verde, chimichurri rojo, and cilantro sauce there as well. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid growing up, your options were peanuts and a hot dog.
Yep.
That was it.
Or a hamburger.
Or a hamburger, if you're lucky.
What is this?
What is that?
That's insane.
That's next level.
That's a lot of food. Hey, you go back to your seat, somebody sees you walking back with this. Somebody's like, hey, have you eaten all? When's the last time you ate food? Jeez.
Last week, Thursday.
It's been a week since you last eaten something. Jeez.
Holy moly.
That's intense.
If you think that's intense, we're just getting started. You got a couple more here before we bring in head coach Jim Apple on Fox Sports Aberdeen. You got to have dessert, don't you?
Yeah.
You got to have dessert sometimes. Let's travel to the city that never sleeps, Yankee Stadium. They've got Petroni tiramisu served in the little Yankee cups, and it's made with espresso, mascarpone cream, ladyfinger cookies, and topped with a generous dousing of fresh cocoa powder.
I'll pass.
Pass on that one?
Yep.
Not a big tiramisu guy?
No.
Okay, interesting. T-Mobile Park, out west there in Seattle, they've got the What Up Corn Dog.
Ooh.
Mariners Blue, it's literally a blue corn dog. Honey-battered corn dog with spicy crunch and served with nacho cheese. How about the ice cream nachos? That's soft-serve ice cream with thick, crunchy waffle chips, sprinkles, and caramel sauce there if you need it there, too. I would not be doing you justice if I didn't travel out to your neck of the woods, Oriole Park at Camden Yards. How about the Warehouse Burger? We talked about that the other day.
Yep.
And also the Cheesy, the best of Maryland on one bun. Foot-long Chesapeake sausage smothered with creamy crab dip.
I was going to say, they got to have something with crab.
Absolutely. You've also got pickled sweet corn and fried green tomatoes served on a soft pretzel bun.
Ooh.
That's, by the way, located near Section 5, just, of course, if you need to know where that is. That's a game changer. That's the Cheesy there at Camden Yards.
Yeah, if I ever go to a game, I might need to check that one out with the creamy crab dip.
Crab dip sounds fantastic.
That sounds great on that.
That's next level. Couple more here before we bring in head coach Jim Apple. Again, down south in Houston, the footlong ballpark dog is topped with a few different appetizers that one may order at your local barbecue joint. Check out the Daddy Mac Dog. It features brisket, mac and cheese, and fried pickles there too. And this sounds interesting, something that I would probably have, the chicken waffle sandwich.
Ooh.
Yes, it brings together crispy fried chicken breast, pepper jack cheese, bacon onion jam, and honey chipotle aioli between two Belgian-style waffles.
I'd definitely give that a try. My stomach's growling here, too.
I know. I'm trying to do everything I can to not salivate all over the microphone and short out the circuits. But finally, because you need something to cheer about at G-Rate Field, How about the celebration cake for the Chicago White Sox?
Of course, I like how they call it the celebration cake.
You're celebrating the game's over, and you don't have to watch this team play anymore. I'm going to guess it's called Levy is the place that they make this at. Levy chefs are back with something sweet to mark their 125th season of Chicago White Sox baseball. It's the celebration cake. It combines birthday cake ice cream with layers of confetti cake, pinwheel cookies, and also cherries on top for 125 years of Chicago White Sox baseball.
You'd probably spend more for that than a ticket to the game.
You're probably onto something with that.
That looks pretty good, though.
It does. I think it does. And we had Brendan Phillips in the program here yesterday. So if he gets a chance to go down to the South Side and take in a White Sox game there, he'll probably down one of those this summer.
Yeah, if I ever went to G-Rate Field, that would be something on my bucket list right there.
Guaranteed Rate Field. Yeah, I'm right there with you. My mouth is watering. I'm salivating, doing everything I can to not just completely, pull a Homer Simpson and go, oh, ha, ha. But it is opening day, and there's something special to be said about the opening day.
I appreciate these teams putting together some pretty good items there. I mean, these are way out the box. Like you said, it used to be a hot dog, popcorn, cracker jacks, and a soda or a beer. Now we're getting this.
It's literally in the song. Buy me some peanuts or cracker jacks. Those are your options, my friend. This is not 1924 anymore. We are living in a new era.
I appreciate the creativity with some of these, I gotta say.
Very much so. And I think I might have even just gained a couple calories reading all of those things, for sure. Coming up next on the show, we're talking with Aberdeen Central Girls Track and Field Head Coach Jim Apple. He'll join us after this. We're rocking and rolling on this thirsty Thursday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. Happy opening day. Twins baseball here on our airwaves later on this afternoon at 3:15. But first and foremost, we're talking some girls track and field action. Jim Apple is the head coach of the squad. He joins us on the phone line. Coach, good to talk with you on this Thursday morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having us on. And, you know, hey, at least the Twins, they're not having a snow day today. And neither are we, so everything's good.
Yeah, you got that straight. Are you a Twins fan? Are you feeling optimistic, pessimistic? What are you thinking about this year for the Twins?
I'm a Twins and Red Sox fan, okay. And the problem is, you know, what's going on with the Dodgers, I don't think anyone should feel optimistic because those guys have two all-star teams. But other than that, you know what? Hey, it's still everyone's 0-0 right now except for the Dodgers. But, you know, hey, we'll go from there.
Don't forget about my Cubs now. We're 0-2, so we're not off to a good start. But
hey, ESPN picks the Cubs to win the division, so Keep the faith.
As a Chicago Cubs fan, that's very fleeting. I don't know. We'll see. We'll talk about that later on in the program, certainly. Jim Apple, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. And, you know, we were emailing back and forth before we got you on the show here today, and you said, boy, you know, pretty crazy weather that we've had. That's got to put you guys at, I don't want to say an advantage, but you're really kind of getting into practice quite a bit earlier this year than years past, I would imagine.
You know, I'll tell you, first thing is I feel a lot, I'm in a better mood when I go to practice because I'm not out having to snow blow or shovel. So that's always a good thing. So, you know, our kids have been outside since the first day of practice. We went outside this year, you know, the first day of March on a Monday there, we went out and, you know, we've been out literally every day. So it's been just a blessing to be out there. And, you know, there's a lot of days we're running in halls before, or we have to warm up inside and then run out for 20 minutes, get a quick workout in on the few lanes we got open that are snowblowed and come back in. And, you know, this year it's just been a blessing to be out there. And, you know, we can see our kids are in a better mood for one reason. They're not running the halls or getting sore, banged up. And, you know, they're getting to go outside and they're seeing improvements a lot faster because we are able to get outside.
That was going to be my next point. You know, practices are probably better. Morale's probably better. Just being outside, because just from experience over the last couple of years when you've been practicing inside, maybe it's tougher to practice, and now maybe your team is more willing to, I don't want to say willing to practice, but just a little bit more energy out there, it seems like, when you've been practicing outside.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, they know we're getting out there. You know, they're getting in the sand over there at the long jump, and, you know, they're disc and shot are getting to throw outside. You know, they're doing some stuff indoors still, but, you know, you're getting a chance to get outside and actually throw out there and, you know, and go in the sand, and the hurdlers, you know, aren't hurdling in the gym. They're out there doing that. And, you know, distance runners, you know, aren't on treadmills. So, you know, it just puts everyone in a little bit better place, better mood as they go.
A lot better headspace for sure. As Jim Apple joins us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, and to kind of piggyback off of that thought, do you get a sense one way or another that with a lot of the positivity and just the mental, for lack of a better term, smiles that are going on right now, do you get a sense that this could be a year where you start to see a lot of records fall, be it school records or personal records?
You know, we're going to see, I think we'll see a lot of kids' times, especially in April, a lot farther advanced than they normally are. You know, we're going to see that, and we're just going to work on building from there. You know, and that's, you'll definitely see that. You know, the key is not to peak too early, though. That's kind of the key. You know, some kids will go, and then they'll, you know, they might peak in early mid-April, and or probably mid-April, or, you know, and then they level off for a while. Well, you know, our goal is always to peak at the end of the season. So, you know, we're getting some more work in, but the fact of the matter is, you know, you can't get crazy, because if you do all the crazy work early, then, you know, next thing you know, we're not going to peak when we want to. So that's kind of the key with that. So, you know, we're excited. The kids are excited. That's all I can say. We've had some really good workouts out at the track. You know, we've got a lot, way more in this year than we have in years past by this time. So, you know, knock on wood, we'll take it.
Do you think, you know, with kids playing winter sports, did it take some time to ease into the season? I mean, I know you said, hey, we're practicing outside, but overall, did it take some time to ease in, or did you kind of just were able to jump right into it?
You know, we always ease into it, you know, and then anyone who's in a winter sport, you know, we have hockey players, basketball players, you know, there's always some of that, even swimmers or whatever. We always give them wrestlers, give them a week off, a good week off, you know, from their season, because, you know, mentally and physically they need a break before they come in. So that's a good thing. So the kids always feel refreshed when they get in, so they're not just going from one to the next right away. And the other kids, they started way back when, you know, they've had plenty of time off, so they started in early March. And, you know, we give, you know, we break them in easy, but it's go time when, you know, we get a week or two into it. It's, hey, let's, you know, step it up a little bit when it's kind of nice outside. And, you know, they really appreciate it and take advantage of it. So no complaints at all.
Coach, do you have a couple people that don't want the time off? They're like, all right, basketball's over, I'm going right into this thing right now, full bore. Do you have any players like that?
You know, we always do get one or two, and I hate to use the word kick them out of the gym, but, you know, hey, we're gonna break in a little slower. Just take a day off. Take 2 days off. I don't care. Just get yourself some mental time to get ready to go. And they want to come in. But we always ease the, you know, when they come in and we're starting workouts, they never do the full workouts. We give them like half the workout for a couple days, or maybe even the first week. And by the end of the first week, you know, or the start of the second week, then they're going full bore with everyone else, because they have been in the sport. But it's a different training than it is, you know, whether it's a hockey or a wrestling or that. And the last thing you want to do is get a kid in and, you know, end up getting them injured, because that's, you know, that'll put you back a whole month if that happens.
Tukes alluded to it earlier, talking about breaking records and all that kind of stuff. Is there somebody on your radar this year that you're saying, hey, you could really do some big things this year?
You know, we have a handful of kids with that. So I you know, that's the one thing I'm really pleased with is, you know, the kids we have out, they're all working really well right now. And you know, we have a, you know, there's a couple records that are school records that have a chance of falling. You know, Taryn Hermanson's always close in the shot, and she's close there. And, you know, Maya and Patsis in the hurdles. And, of course, we got the 100 state champion back, Gracie Reif, you know. So with having her back and those, and, you know, we have some really solid relays last year at 4x1 and 4x2. You know, they were really working their way down there to getting close to the school record there. And, you know, those girls there have a shot as well. So, you know, it's always exciting with that. But, you know, like I said, our focus is always on the conference meet and getting as many kids to the state meet. You know, we don't really focus on the records. If they happen, they happen, you know. But, oh, and all the javelin record's always in play for the girls and boys, since that's always a, you know, new young sport. you know, or, you know, young event that hasn't been going on that long. So those are records that, you know, this year we look at are going to be in play. But, you know, for the most part, we're just worried about, you know, getting better from day to day, week to week. We have a saying I always have with the kids. I say every day you either get better or worse. You never stay the same. So you got to figure out which one you're going to do today. So that's kind of what we're, you know, our goal is always to improve a little bit on something every day. So, you know, we'll go from there. We'll be good to go. You know, one other thing I want to mention, we have, three new coaches and a volunteer coach this year. We rarely have turnover on our track staff. So we got a new pole vault coach, Coach Hill, long and triple, Coach Roth, and Coach Belfi is helping out a little bit with Coach Neely with the javelin and in the along with the Hermansons there and in the high jump. And then we got a volunteer coach name we've heard in the past, Coach Martin's. Coach Bill Martin's son is with us. He just finished up at Northern and with winter track, and he's out with us now, and he's helping us, volunteering with us, doing an internship, and doing a great job. So it's nice having some fresh blood with coaches on, and it just brings another renewed energy to the staff, which is great.
That's some fresh blood, but also some familiar blood, if that makes sense, as Jim Apple joins us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. I don't know about you, Matt, but the javelin just makes me nervous. You know, just the whole thing in general. Like, you're throwing a spear in the air. That could go one of two ways, which just makes me nervous.
You know what? That's actually safer than the shot and disc, to be honest with you. Because it's in the field out there away from everyone. The people are so far away when they're watching. There's really not a chance anyone's going to get, you know, unless there's an official out there who's, you know, fell asleep standing up.
Yeah, not paying attention at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the only way really someone's going to get hurt. You know, a discus could get errant and go, you know, and miss the thing and go somewhere. Or, you know, a shot, if it would slip out of someone's hand, could do that. But other than that, you know, that it's actually a pretty safe event as long as, you know, the coaches have everything in gear and everyone's paying attention. It's really safe. And we have rubber tips on the end. So yeah, it's safe. I'm not worried about that one.
Well, that's kind of like me in golf. You know, I could be playing in the middle of the desert and I'd always find the one tree to play behind. So if I were out there in the field, I would still be nervous. I hear you. I think you're spot on in your assessment, but nevertheless, it still makes me nervous. A couple more here with Jim Apple on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. Lucy Fritz winning the long jump here not that long ago, earlier on this week at the Northern invite there. What have you kind of seen from her in the very early stages of this season, and maybe your her goals and her expectations for the season?
Yeah, we took that was kind of a JV meet for us, but we took a few of our jumpers over there, our pole vaulters, varsity jumpers there. So we had our, you know, when we went over there, we had, you know, she did the long jump there. And then because at SDSU this week, she's going to triple jump this weekend. So she was one of a couple girls we took to both places, you know, so she did that. And Jaden Forsyth, same thing. She was pole vaulting, and then she did the triple jump there, and she won that. And they both are, you know, a little bit off of their own personal records there to start the season. That just talks about, you know, starting the season so well, you know, being able to get outside and do that. And then we also had Brecken Sancher over there who won the pole vault. And, you know, she's not far away from her personal record as well. You know, so those three girls each won an event over there. But it was more – here's one thing you got to remember. Our pole vaulters started back the first week in February. So they get an extra month ahead start because it is such a technical event. And they don't want people pushing them too early in March. So they get a whole extra month. So for those kids, you know, by the time this meet started, they were 7-8 weeks into it. They were chomping at the bit to go. So the pole vaulters, you know, all got to go over there and jump. And, you know, Jaden and Brecken really did a nice job jumping at Northern. They went 1-2.
I'm looking at the schedule here. I see the Bob Judson Invitational on April 8th. Do you have anything? I mean, I think you already talked about it at SDSU this weekend. What do you got coming up between now and that Bob Judson Invitational?
Yeah, this weekend is our SDSU meet. It's our varsity meet because it's a limited entries, and you know there's a lot. There'll be about 40-50 teams there usually. So if you can go there and place, you're doing something special because there's teams from Minnesota, Iowa, Nebraska, and, you know, all over South Dakota there, and, you know, even Minnesota. I mean, they're from North Dakota. They're from all over at that meet there. So that's a big meet there, and, you know, just a chance to get your feet wet. And then after that, our JV kids come back to Northern the following Monday and Tuesday. I think it's, what, the 31st and 1st. We'll have our JV kids competing over at Northern there on that day as well. So, and then, yeah, then literally we get a week off, and then the following week we go to Pierre. And we haven't had that meet in Pierre in probably 4 or 5 years because of the weather. So, you know, we're just excited to get a shot at that one. And then if we don't have that one, the end of the week, that week on Friday, we go to Huron. So we'll get one of those two in for sure, and hopefully we get them both in.
All right, let's not jinx anything now with the weather. I know they're talking about some of the white stuff this weekend, but nothing in terms of accumulation that I think we need to worry about. So I think you're smooth sailing, knock on wood. Well, Coach...
Well, I hope so, and hey, we really appreciate having us on today to get to talk a little track, because usually we're talking snowblowing now, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, literally, us too. Well, Coach, continued success. Thanks for joining us here, and we'll talk to you later on down the road, I'm sure.
All right, thank you.
You bet. Our pleasure, for sure. Jim Apple, head coach of the Aberdeen Central Girls Track and Field Squad here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, and yeah, he makes an interesting point. You know, this time of the year, years past, it's just like, well, maybe next week we'll get out. Maybe the week after that. We'll see.
Yeah, and I think you can just simulate meet action, if you will. You can go outside. I think it just helps with morale, positivity going into the season because, I mean, trust me, when you're practicing inside, running through hallways, what's the fun in that? I mean, there's just not a lot of fun in it. I mean, obviously you can, you know, do some technical stuff and those kinds of things, but you can't really simulate it indoors like you can outdoors. And you know, we talked to Jason Haskell earlier this week, and he said, yeah, it's kind of nice talking about tennis instead of us shoveling the courts like we have done in the past.
I would guess, and I can look this up, and I'll have the exact number for us when we return to the program, but I would guess we're probably around 9-10 inches of snowfall for the entire winter, if
yep.
I had to guess. So, I mean, we've really been fortunate. Now, I know the farmers out there, we need the moisture, don't get me wrong, but I'm not going to lie, my lower back is not mad about it.
No, I'm not mad about it either, considering what we got 2 years ago when we were in the 80s or whatever it was. I mean, we probably had less than a foot. I'd bet that I think your 10-inch number is probably spot on there.
We'll take a look at the exact number when we return to the program, as well as our predictions for Major League Baseball. It is opening day. We'll talk about that and much more. Plus, Northern State softball was in the mix yesterday. We've got a commitment on the D1 side of things for an Aberdeen wing, and much more. All of that and more is on tap on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Back on FSA, it's the Sports Hub Daily Sports Talk Show, Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. Follow us on X at Fox Sports 1420 a.m., at @_Cobra66, and at David Tewksbury for yours truly. Our thanks to Jim Apple for joining us here on FSA. All right, it is prediction time for Major League Baseball, and let's just say this first and foremost to get this out there, a little disclaimer. My picks last year, not great. Okay, so take all of these picks that I have with a very, 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 very tiny grain of salt. You know, I just, baseball. And,
went back and looked.
Yeah, I looked back this morning. I was like, okay, I got that right. Everything else? not so great. So I had one of the three division winners correct in the American League last year. And I went 1-for-3 in the National League as it pertains to the division winners. And 1-for-3 for wild card teams, and then 0-for-3 for wild card teams in the AL and NL respectively.
Wow.
So not great, but I will say I did have Atlanta and Philadelphia right, but they were flipped. I had one as a division winner, one as a wild card,
uh-huh.
And the team that was the wild card winner was the division winner. So
sure,
I give myself partial credit for that.
That's credit.
It's kind of like when you used to raise your hand in class. And you'd answer the question, and the teacher would say, well, you're on the right track.
You're kind of right.
It's like the teacher's not going to say you're an idiot. Teacher's going to say, hey, you're on the right track. So I feel good about that. All right, let's start up on the American League side of things. Let's take a look at our division winners out East, Central, and West. What do you got for me there, Cobra?
Division winners, American League East, picking with my heart. I got the Orioles winning the East. I think they're older. The younger guys are older. I'm expecting those guys to really step up. I mean, Jackson Holliday, he was the first pick of the draft last year. He came up. He struggled. I think year two, he's going to play better. They were one of the best teams in baseball the first half of the year, and then they just fell off a cliff. They couldn't hit. The pitching situation wasn't great. Now, I'm not very happy with what I've seen with the starting pitching in free agency. They lost Corbin Burns. Not happy about that at all. Not happy one bit about it, because I was pretty jacked up when he was in an Oriole uniform. They didn't really go and get a big free agent pitcher in the offseason. I don't like that. They got a bunch of guys. I mean, they signed a 41-year-old Charlie Morton for $15 million. I mean, I can't get excited about that. I think they're going to be competitive. I'm thinking they win 93 to 95 games. That could be enough for the division in the AL East. As for the Central, I'm picking the Twins. I just think this is a completely unexpected kind of toss-up division. I think any team outside of the White Sox can win it. I think the Twins are going to be one of those teams that are going to be in the mix, and I'm picking them. They've done it before. I think Detroit got a little lucky last year. I think Cleveland is eh, and I think Kansas City could be one of those teams that could compete for it, but I'm going with Minnesota. And then in the AL West, I like Texas for whatever reason. They went to the World Series last or 2 years ago. Houston, they lost some players. They're getting older. I think Texas had a down year last year. I think they respond. So that's my division winners in the East or in the American League.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to echo your sentiment with the Central Division. We'll get there in just a second. But I've got the Yankees going back-to-back, winning the AL East crown. Of course, they were outstanding last year, making it all the way to the World Series. I'm with you on the Twins. Maybe that's a homer pick. I'm not sure, but I really like their pitching staff. I do. I really like Lopez, Ryan, Ober. I think Chris Paddock is kind of sneaky good as a number four. And I think one guy that is going to make a lot of headlines this year is number five. That doesn't happen very often. Like, how often do you talk about, oh, our fifth pitcher? Doesn't really talk about that too often. Semien Woods-Richardson has pieced together a really, really good year last year.
Yes.
I think he might be, I don't know if this is a hot take or not, I think he might be one of the best fives in all of the American League. I just really like his stuff.
Yeah, I like that take, too, because I think he really pitched well in spots last year, especially with the injuries that they had. He came in and stepped up and pitched well. I like that as a number five. Watch out for him. He might move up. But remember, you know, Bailey Ober, he started getting it going towards the middle of the season. When they stunk early, he stunk.
Yes.
He picked it up as the season moved on. I do like that starting pitching staff. That's not some garbage pitching staff.
Yeah, I think it's probably top three in the AL.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a hot take.
That's
I don't
not
know.
Bad.
I think it's really, really good on paper. So we'll see what that
means. And they need a big year from Pablo, too.
Yes, they do.
He was good at the start, and then his ERA was just rising. He didn't have a good second half of the year.
Yeah, I just think it's on paper very, very good. We'll see what that means on the actual diamond. And Royce Lewis, I think he's going to be one of those guys everyone's going to look at and say, can you just stay healthy? We've been saying
please.
It for Byron Buxton for years. But absolutely. I mean, I think Royce Lewis, if healthy, when healthy, is one of the best players in the league.
Yeah, and he's young. So he already tweaked something in spring training, which I don't like.
Yeah.
It's a leg injury. So we'll see. I'm not sure if he's healthy or not right now, but he's going to have to get healthy for them to make a move here in the Central.
He's on the 10-day right now. So he was rounding second on that second AB of the season last year when he lost some significant time. And I've got Houston out west. As it pertains to our wild card winners, I've got Baltimore, Boston, and Texas. I think all three of those teams make the playoffs here as well. Wild card, what say you?
I got Boston. I think they're going to be much better this year. I just think they've been in the cellar for the last couple of years. They like spending money. They missed out on Juan Soto, but they did bring in Bregman. I think that team's going to be sneaky decent this year. They steal a wild card spot. I got the Yankees making the wild card. Yes, they got some injuries, but I think they're just overpowering lineup helps with Judge. Gerrit Cole, he's out, which I think that doesn't help them, but they're the Yankees. And I got the Royals making the playoffs as a wild card. They surprised me last year. They were young. And you got Bobby Witt Jr., man. He could be the AL MVP. with how he plays. I like the Royals coming out as a wild card.
I've got the White Sox as a wild card. No, I'm kidding. I wouldn't do that. All right, we are kind of up against the clock right now, so let's take a quick break in the action, more NL picks, and then we'll tell you who's going to go to the World Series coming up next on FSA. Final segment for your Thursday installment of the Sports Hub on FSA. And oh, by the way, for what it's worth, 11.7 inches of snowfall for us here in the Hub City this year. We were
Dynamite.
Saying, yeah, we were saying around like 10 maybe. Yeah, a little less than a foot, 11.7 inches of snowfall.
That's from October, right?
Yeah, October to right now.
Wow.
Pretty crazy. Not even a full foot. All right, National League Baseball picks this year on the division side. I've got Atlanta out east. I've got the Milwaukee Brewers in the Central. Travel out west. Shocker, I've got the Dodgers. I don't think that's breaking news to anybody out there.
I got the Phillies in the east. I got the Cardinals in the Central. I just picked the team because I have no idea who's winning that division.
It's kind of a crapshoot, isn't it?
And the Cardinals are always sneaky good for whatever reason.
I had them as a wild card last year.
They just like, you don't think they're going to be good, and you look up, they're like two games out of the division. You're like, how did we get here?
I know.
And then you got in the West, I got the Dodgers too. I think the East could be interesting because you got Atlanta, Juan Soto with the Mets. I mean, that's big time there. And then Phillies with Castellanos, Bryce Harper. They've had a lot of success in the postseason. I think that could be the most entertaining race in all the divisions in baseball, that NL East.
Yeah, it certainly is not going to be out West. I just don't see anybody catching the Dodgers. They basically have funny money that they're paying everybody right now, and it's absolutely bananas. And heck, they're already 2-0. We haven't even had opening day yet, and they're already 2-0. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, their pitching staff's unbelievable. We looked at it. We saw Blake Snell as a number three.
Yeah,
are you kidding me with that?
What are we doing?
That would be a guy, as an Orioles fan, bring him in. He'd be the number one guy. But when you got money talks, man, and the Dodgers got the money.
No. Money doesn't talk. Money screams. And it's screaming out west for sure. Yamamoto's their number one. Shohei Ohtani's their number two. Blake Snell, a three. Tyler Glasnow, a four.
He didn't pitch last year, Ohtani.
That's right. He had the Tommy John.
So hopefully, I mean, for him, if he stays healthy, that's a dominant number two.
It's a really, really good staff for sure. So on the wild card side of things, I've got Philadelphia. Homer pick here. I'm going to go with the Cubs. I don't know why, but just because I guess I'm from the Chicagoland area. And a down year last year for Arizona. I think they kind of returned to form here a little bit this year. Did I say Philadelphia is my wild card? Maybe I said Atlanta, but I've got Philly, Chicago, and Arizona.
For me, I have Atlanta, I got the Mets, and I got the Padres. I think the Padres, they made it last year. Mm-hmm. You know, they always have big expectations coming in, and they don't really reach it. Plus, they're competing with the Dodgers. I think they're going to be good, and they'll sneak in. I do like your Arizona pick, though, too, because they were right in the mix until 162. If you remember, the Mets had to go in. I think they had to play 163 into the playoffs because Arizona was right there. I mean, the NL wild card race last year was spectacular. I think we could see something similar, but that's why I got it, the wild cards.
I think Arizona's just chowing down on those Sonoran dogs. That's why I picked them.
Man, they got one of the coolest food items. That's why we picked
that's
them. I like
going.
It.
Absolutely. LCS, I've got Houston against the Yankees, and the LCS on the NL side of things, I've got Dodgers and Braves.
Hey, we got the same one for the NL.
Really? Okay.
And I got Dodgers, Braves. I got Orioles, Texas in the ALCS.
Okay. World Series, Yankees, Dodgers, take two.
I got Orioles, Dodgers, and Dodgers at five.
Dodgers and five. Okay, yeah, I could see. I don't, obviously injuries happen and what have you, but I just don't see anybody catching the Dodgers this year.
No, they're the most dominant team. I'll tell you, I'll be rooting against them all year, but they're just too talented with the lineup, the pitching staff. It's just not fair. I mean, we heard Jim Apple talking about it. They got two all-star teams on one team.
Yeah, it's a perfect way to describe it. It's just not fair. Coming up next on the show, that's it. We're done. We're back at it tomorrow. Colin Cowherd at the top of the hour.